Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. To the voice behind the show for actors who are heard but not seen. And this week we've got a very special guest. Her website says that she is the voice of your childhood, which, looking at the credits, makes it, actually, I think that's not just an idle boast. This week we've got Katie Lee on the show. Katie, how's it going?
Hi. I'm so excited to be on your show.
I'm excited to have you too, and you know, I've mentioned this on a couple different shows. When we're starting to look at a guest, we're like, okay, you know, this is someone we want to talk to. And then as I do more research about the guest, I get more and more excited to talk to him, just because there's so many different credits that you've had here. And we're going to start right at the beginning. Now, you started in the early 80s.
Yes.
What was your first role?
Well, my very, very first role was a part on a Mork and Mindy cartoon show that Hanna-Barbera was doing, and I thought I was going to be a series regular, so I quit my day job, and it turned out just to be one episode. But that was my first cartoon show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the role was?
No. Oh, well, no. Maybe like Mindy's niece. Or Mork's niece, or something like that. I truly don't.
So you were playing.
That's terrible.
You were playing children pretty much right out the gate.
Yeah, I was. That's kind of, I think, when my agent signed me. She thought I sounded like I was 12 years old on the phone, and I went down to LA and met with them, and they signed me, and the rest is history. Yeah.
And, you know, since then you've been working pretty consistently, and including something that I didn't really know about, but it's one of those things where unless you are part of a community, you may not necessarily know it. You were part of, apparently, the longest-running American radio drama.
Yeah, we're still recording. It's still on the air. It's Adventures in Odyssey. Yeah, it's produced by Focus on the Family. We're doing some more episodes in a few weeks. And, so far we've been on the air 26 years.
Wow, what is that? Well, and you're playing a teenager.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how old she is now. When we started, I think she was 15. Now I'm guessing she's probably in her early 20s, but I am the slowest aging person in radio, I think.
I was going to ask, I mean, is it kind of like The Simpsons, where everyone stays the same age regardless of how long the show's been going?
Well, there are a lot of kids who've been on the show, and they get older. Real kids,
mm-hmm.
And my character seems to stay the same, and some of the older characters, it's, you know what, it's something they can't explain, because nobody expected this to go on that long, but people come and go, people get older, lives change, and I just sort of stay almost the same. I think I'm sort of like the reverse of a dog, I guess, when it comes to aging. How that works.
There are worse things to be the opposite of, I guess.
Right. So, my character's name is Connie Kendall, and it is probably definitely the best role I've ever had, because I know we have touched so many lives, and I get amazing fan mail, and I feel like I have family all over the world. I think at one point, I don't know now, but they were on 14,000 radio stations around the world.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's hard to imagine just that kind of range, especially for a radio drama. I mean, we think nowadays, I mean, now it's kind of been supplanted with like podcasts and things like that. But even then, it's not nearly what it was in like the 20s and 30s and even going on into the 60s. Is you got involved in that fairly early in your career then? Because that started, what, about 85?
Actually, 87.
87, okay.
Yeah, 87. I started working for them a couple years before that, when I had heard their a prototype for the radio show, and I actually drove over to their offices, gave them my reel-to-reel. For those of you who don't know what that is, look it up. And my demo back then. reel to reel, and they started working at Focus, and I think they wrote the part for me. At least that's what they tell me. I don't know if they're just saying that to be nice, but it's a pretty special, very special role. Yeah, it's really neat. And my son's worked on the show. He worked on it for a few years, and he was born the year we started. I almost didn't take the role because I had just had a baby when they were finally got ready to do it, and I actually. The words came out of my mouth, you're going to have to find somebody else. And those guys, they waited for me and called me 6 weeks later. And then I just had to say yes. I brought my baby to the studio, and that started a trend. Yeah.
Wow. I got to ask, because as you mentioned, Adventures in Odyssey, it's put on by the Focus on the Family, which is, I think safe to say, a conservative Christian organization.
Yeah, probably be pretty safe to say that.
Pretty safe to say. Now, and right before that, you were doing Dungeons & Dragons, the animated series.
Yes, funny you should say that. And so your question is?
I guess my question was, is did you ever, I mean, at the time, especially in the early 80s, Dungeons & Dragons was kind of a target, I guess, of conservative Christians. Were you ever concerned about working with Dungeons & Dragons? Like, was there ever any trepidation from that perspective for you?
Wow, and that is an awesome question, and yes, I was. Actually, that was like a turning point. It was very odd because I had become a Christian while I was working on Dungeons & Dragons, and I don't know who listens to your show, but there was a lot of controversy, you're right, in the church at that time, and I was really conflicted, and I didn't want to tell any. It was very weird, because I didn't want to tell the people at church that I was a voice actress, because a guy had come out with a book called Turmoil in the Toy Box, and basically it just said every cartoon was demonic in some way, which really bothered me, whether I believed it or not. It was unfortunately a sort of a rampant argument going around, and it was sort of a hot topic, and I felt really self-conscious, and I didn't want to tell the people I was working with that I was a Christian, and I didn't want to tell the people that church that I was working in cartoons, and I was really worried, and I thought, you know, what do I do, because I really want to have an honorable life, and I actually, I'm just going to tell you my personal story, you know, I prayed about it, I thought, I want to do something that honors God, and oddly enough, the doors opened, and I started working on Adventures in Odyssey, and, you know, that whole controversy sort of faded away. But I feel like I have the opportunity to use my talents to really, you know, make a really positive impression and have an effect on a lot of people in a lot of positive ways. So, you know, I had to sort of grit my teeth and figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And now, just to extend that, I get a lot of questions from younger people who are in theater, who want to go into Hollywood, and they say, you know, they still worry, should I go to Hollywood? And they say, yeah, absolutely, because, you know, everybody needs some positive influence in their life, even Hollywood. They can use you, so, you know, don't be afraid to be a part of it. But I was very young and nervous when that happened. I was in my early 20s, I think, so it was a big deal. So, yeah. You just asked me a very personal question no one's asked me before.
We try to get personal very quickly on the show just to make everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're like the Barbara Walters of the internet.
Wow, I'm going to save that clip. I'm definitely going to do that. Well, I mean, since Dungeons & Dragons, and granted, the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon was hardly, you know, it wasn't South Park. I mean, but since then, you've done quite a few.
It wasn't South Park, and it wasn't the game. It was a cartoon.
Exactly.
And that, you know, people just didn't know, you know, jump to conclusions about, I would like to say.
Well, since then, you've done a pretty good handful of a pretty squeaky clean cartoons and really well remembered and well loved characters. I mean, you were on some of the original My Little Pony cartoons, not the current one, although have they asked you to come on yet?
Oh my goodness, I wish they would. Yeah, I'm Gen 1. Actually, after we started, every My Little Pony after that's been made in Canada.
Oh, okay. Really? I didn't realize.
Unless I change citizenship, yeah. I mean, they do use some actors here, but for those of you who, if you want to know the scoop behind the voices, the ones that live here are Canadians that work in the States and under Canadian contract.
Huh. That's interesting to know, because we haven't actually had any of the new My Little Pony people. Well, we've had previous My Little Pony actresses on the show, and no one's ever mentioned that. That's really interesting. You are also on a huge show from my childhood, Muppet Babies.
Yeah, Far Out. That was an awesome show too.
You were Baby Rolf.
Yes.
As if anyone who heard that didn't already know who that was. What was that show like? Because, I mean, you're coming off of the Muppet Show, the live-action puppet show, into the cartoon. And it's a different tone, but not exactly a different tone. What was working on that show like?
That was my second biggest dream come true. Although that happened before Odyssey, so probably the first. I think it happened before Odyssey. Well, I don't think you can get a bigger Muppet fan than me in the first place. So now you see, this is how life happens and why I think that God has a great sense of humor, because my director from Dungeons & Dragons, I bumped into him at a restaurant, and he said, hey, we're going to do a new cartoon. I saw him eating a hamburger. I said, what's new? And he was like, we're doing a new cartoon. Based on the Muppets, do you think you could do Baby Piggy's voice? And I thought, no, because Piggy's a guy. I don't know what I was saying. And I said, no, but, oh my goodness, I have to be on that show. So that's the only time I've ever done it. I called my agent. I said, he said, well, auditions are tomorrow, but we'll have you for the callback. And I thought, oh, no, you won't. You're going to have me tomorrow. I called my agent. I go, I have to be there tomorrow. And I went to a video store, rented a movie, watched a Muppet movie to figure out which character I could be, and I decided I could be Rolf. And auditioned and ecstatic when I got the call that I got the part. And the director said, you know, very few people even knew who Rolf was. And I remember watching Rolf in black and white on the Jimmy Dean show when I was a kid, so it's just funny. I just knew that character. And the first session was absolutely nerve-wracking because Jim Henson came to the session, and I was, you know, totally fan-struck and starstruck and embarrassed because I was imitating him, because he did the voice for the big Rolf. So as we read through the script, each line, when it came to Baby Rolf, I'd say, you read it first. Want to hear you read it first? So it took but with like most cartoons, it takes a few episodes before you feel like you know who your character is, and you know. And if you watch any show that's been on for more than a year, you can usually tell how the voices have evolved, you know, after a couple of years anyway. Because I had to go from just trying to imitate him to figuring out who, you know, Rolf really was, and I was still a young actress too, so I'm just a very, very, very fortunate and grateful person that I've had the career that I've had. You know, it's like in the dark bumping into walls and just happened to be, you know, progressing, you know, in spite of myself, so I'm very thankful. It was awesome. It was a great show.
Now, from the mid-80s to about the early 90s, not only are you working on Muppet Babies in a pretty big role, you're also working on The Adventures of Gummy Bears in another pretty big role, and you're also doing other shows like Real Ghostbusters and various other shows. I think My Little Pony was still going by that point. And meanwhile, you mentioned that your son was born in about 84, or right around the time... 87, excuse me. So you were dealing with a small child for most of... while working on many shows at the same time. Was that...
Yes, that's true.
What was that experience like? Just carting this toddler around to, and like how, like in that, okay, so like I said, you're working on two regular shows, and in addition to that, you're also doing guest spots on other shows. Like, right. what was your daily, like how many hours a day were you recording for that?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Well, you know, voiceover is a little different. Cartoons are a little different than going to the office and working, you know, 9 to 5. Fortunately, at that time, my husband, I think he was working at home. No, I think we had a babysitter. So I would have a baby. The only time I would take Adam, his name's Adam, to work with me was at Focus on the... No, I'm lying. I probably brought him to the studio. I think people put up with me a lot, actually. I might have brought him to Muppet Babies. I might have brought him to... I know I took him to Focus on the Family. But the other times, I'd have a babysitter. And a lot of times, we'd do two shows in one day. So I'd be gone, you know... They'd stack them up, and when we were doing shows back then, you have to remember there were only 3 channels, and we used to do 13 shows for a season, not 26 like they do now. So there actually was a season. They'd start in April or May, and go through about November, and we'd record 13 shows, usually once a week. So you know, it was kind of, you know, sporadic. So it was manageable. You know, I had somebody to help me take care of him, and it was okay. It worked out just fine, actually. I was guilty of taking... I remember when I worked on Camp Candy, I brought my baby. I had my second one, brought her to the studio, and people are very accommodating. You know, it's not like a... because you go into the studio to record, and there's usually a room outside the studio, so... It's not like you're on a live set where you're shooting a TV show or something and everybody has to be quiet. So it's pretty doable. It's a pretty darn good job for a mom to have, I must say.
Awesome. And you've actually done several things for Disney. We mentioned Gummy Bears, which I believe that was a Disney show.
Yes, it was. It was their first animated show to go on the air.
Oh, wow.
They beat Wuzzles by 2 seconds or something.
Wow.
Like that.
All right. And then, you know, after that wrapped up, you were Honker Muddlefoot on Darkwing Duck, another huge part of my growing up. Which, if anyone didn't know, Honker was the little kid.
Yes. Honker Muddlefoot was Gosling's best friend. But he was very intelligent, and she was pretty wild.
And you know, since then you've done stuff for ABC, and you were also the voice of Dumbo, which I think you were the first voice of Dumbo ever.
First and only.
First
that
and
was
only.
We were doing Dumbo, I think, around the same time, Gummy Bears and Muppet Babies. There's a lot of stuff going on at the same time. It was pretty hectic. But they did Dumbo Circus for the Disney Channel, and I was fortunate enough to be cast as Dumbo's voice. And after that was all over, Disney instituted a position over there called continuity, something like that. And so the guy who got that job made it very clear that Dumbo never spoke in the original movie and should have never spoken and will never speak again. So I have the distinction of being the only person to give Dumbo a voice.
Do you take it at all personally that after you did that role, they're like, no, this character can never talk again?
No, I mean, I understood his, you know, where he was coming from. He wanted to make sure that there was consistency in the Disney characters. And since Dumbo in the movie, although it wasn't illogical that he should talk since he was a baby in the movie, you know, it's conceivable that he got older and was able to speak. I kind of thought the guy was being a little too legalistic, but I did not take it personally.
I personally am shocked that anyone from Disney is over legalistic. Now, as we've mentioned, a lot of your roles have been, you know, kids and teenage girls, but there's one role that sticks out for me, just looking over everything, that just, it's one of these things is not like the other. You played Han Solo.
Yeah, a couple of years ago for Cartoon Network.
Now, granted, this was for the Lego Star Wars movie. that they did. Mm-hmm. So it makes a little bit more sense vocally. But was that weird to not only have to imitate a character that is so well known, but that is so different than your typical kind of range?
Well, I do a lot of boys' voices. I probably do more boys than girls, but people just aren't aware that I do it. I mean, Honker was a boy, Dumbo was a boy.
Well, true.
And I worked on a show called Animalia for PBS, and that was directed by a guy from Australia, a company down there, Animal Logic. And they're the ones that got the Padawan Menace job. And in fact, I didn't even audition for that. I just got an email or a call. My agent said, some people want you to do this Lego Star Wars special. I was like, oh, okay, who are they? She said, I don't know. And I kept thinking, you know, it's got to be somebody I know. And it turned out that it was David Scott, and he wanted me to do it. And so they sent me the script, and I was reading it. And then they said, your character is Ian. Okay. So I'm reading it, and I get to the last page. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm Han Solo. I'm not, because if anybody saw the episode, he puts on a name tag with some letters, and his H from Han gets turned sideways, and so everybody thinks his name is Ian, and at the end he says, yeah, but my name's not Ian, it's Han Solo. And it sounds a little bit like Rolf, actually. But I was trying to channel my best Harrison Ford, and in fact, I do imitate a lot of people's voices in my career. I've done a lot of voice matching, and you know, matching kids, especially, or you know, if I copied Jim Henson as Big Rolf to do Baby Rolf, it's not that, you know, not that far-fetched to think that I might imitate Harrison Ford to do a young version of Han Solo either, right?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of voice matching, the Lego Star Wars is not your only connection with Harrison Ford. I'm assuming this is, you were doing the ADR for you, but you were the Maharaja in the Temple of Doom.
Yes, that was a fun job too, and you're right, I was in this the scene with Harrison Ford, and all throughout the movie, I replaced that young man's voice with my own. And I really don't know why they wanted to replace him. It was what happened. I auditioned for the part, and they hired me when I got to the studio. Well, that's a Spielberg movie. It was just me and the engineer in a black and white print. And I said, okay, I knew the engineer, Charlene, from other jobs. I said, so what are we doing? She said, I don't know. I said, well, why am I here? I don't know. They just want you to revoice him. Well, do they want me to match him? Do they want me to be different? I don't know. Well, all right, let's just try to match his voice, which I did. I tried to match his delivery and his voice because sometimes, you know, they just need a track redone because maybe there's sound, you know, on the track, and so they need it clean. And he was on the other side of the world, so maybe that's why they didn't use him to do his own voice. So I thought, better be safe and just do exactly what he did, which is pretty much what I did, except for the voodoo doll noises. Those were original on my part, I think.
Now there's a credit for you.
Yeah, so we did the scene, and honestly, I didn't go to the movies to see that when it came out. And everybody was talking about this horrible dinner scene. I'm like, ew, yuck, for sure I don't want to see that movie. And then one day I was at a department store back in the day when department stores sold TVs, and I heard my voice. And I looked over, and they were playing Indiana Jones. And I realized I was in that dinner scene, but I never saw that part because they only showed me the part that I was actually looping, and then you jump to the next part that you're looping. You don't watch the whole movie when you're doing it. So I was quite surprised to find out I had a big part in that memorable scene in the movie.
So to clarify, that was a complete replacement. Like, there's none of the original actor's voice in that movie.
No, not Okay. Not in that one. Nope.
Wow.
Not as far as I know, because even when I hear, I was able now, thanks to the internet, I was able to download that scene. for myself, for my own archives, which I would have never had before, and I can even hear my yawn. It's me. I know. Oh, no.
Wow. They use every part of it, every part of the performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Because it was a complete replacement. So that's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. I've done some pretty fun things. I've also worked I actually worked with Spielberg. I had to leave a Muppet Babies session where my director said, tell Spielberg he owes me one, to go loop The Color Purple, where I did one of Oprah's daughters when she comes home from Christmas, and we had to replace one of the little girl's voices, and I did that, and I actually got to meet Steven Spielberg for that, so kind of cool, too.
Wow. So you've got all sorts of connections all over the place.
Yeah, I have lots of friends in lots of places, and I just think my life is pretty fun. I'm very thankful.
Well, good. Good. And yeah. you're still working. I mean, you're still doing the Adventures in Odyssey, which we've talked about. I'm seeing on IMDb you've got a new show called Space Racers coming out.
Yeah, on PBS, and it's really good. It's entertaining and educational. And NASA consulted on that, so kids will learn about outer space, like space shuttles in that show. And I didn't know that was on IMDb already, so that's interesting. Does it say when it's going to air?
All it's saying is 2014. So it doesn't have anything beyond that. And if anyone that has listened to this show in the past knows, IMDb is very touchy. I don't know, maybe not touchy. Just it's to be taken with a grain of salt. I'll just say that. So, but that
well,
is coming.
I can vouch for that, because there has been information. I've had to write them and say, hey, you know what? Thank you for the credit, but I wasn't on that show. Go find who did it and send it to the right person. So.
What was your favorite show that you were credited for but didn't actually do?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. There's a lot of cartoons that they mention. Honestly, I don't remember. I don't know what it was, but I have told them to put some credits on there that they hadn't.
Oh, okay.
You know, because I don't know. I mean, that was kind of new, and it's funny because, you know, IMDb just sort of is an interesting entity, because you don't tell them anything. They just, somebody, whoever created it, and wherever they get their information. And to be honest, you know, when a lot of the actors at that time, we did a lot of different shows, and, you know, we do, you know, an extra part here or there, whatever, and I'm sorry to say, we didn't always pay too much attention to who we were, what we were doing. I mean, we could be Kid One or Kid Two, you know, like I was once on the Rugrats, so I don't even know the name of the episode. And then you look on IMDb and they've got these, you know, credits, like, wow, I didn't even know I did that. So, you know, it's pretty neat. It's like you got some stranger putting together your resume for you, and it's kind of fun to look at. For the most part, I would say they're accurate. But yeah, there's some, I think maybe there's shows that I did work on, but they might have credited me with a role that I don't think I played. So I don't know, I have to look at it again, because you just gave me some new information that I didn't know was there. So it bears, you know, monitoring. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, let's see if we can scoop IMDb. Is there anything that is coming up that you want to let people know about?
Well, I'm working on a new cartoon that's coming out on Nickelodeon, but I think for sure not till 2014. And I don't know when. It's called Get Blake, and it is hilarious. And it's about alien squirrels that are trying to kidnap a boy who they know that in the future will grow up to, like, eliminate them or something. So they were trying to get him while he's young. And I think it's really funny, really well written. And like you said, ever since that whole Dungeons and Dragons event in my life, there really hasn't been anything I've done that has made me, you know, not proud to be a part of, and I just feel so blessed, because I've been on shows. I think you said Squeaky Clean they're not all exactly squeaky clean, but they are definitely family friendly. And I'm so happy because, you know, it's my personality to want to do those kinds of things. And I'm really grateful for the opportunities I've had to do the stuff that I really like, that I want my kids to see and, you know, people in the future. And if Disney ever lets out our shows that they've got locked up, then I'll be really happy for new people to see them. Yeah. Even if they have Darkwing Duck, they've got Gummy Bears, they got all the Marvel shows they own.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's up with that. I wish they would let them out.
You and me both. Absolutely. Especially Darkwing Duck. That's just one that was one of those where it's the classic story where that was what was on right when I get home from school. So that became a fixture of my daily routine was Darkwing Duck. So that was super fun show to watch, and I'm sure it was just as fun to do.
Anyway, I think it's I was really up because when you're working on some, you aren't always really paying attention, and of course when we work on it, we don't see it for a year or two later. So we're always a little, you know, like you said, what are you working on? If people say, what are you doing now? I could tell them, but they're not going to see it until it's ready to, you know, been animated and ready to go on the air. So, and sometimes it's been, after being in this business for 30 years, I got in the habit of not saying what I'm working on because you just never know if it's even going to air, you're going to end up on the cutting room floor. So it's just better not to say anything until. I've done a lot of voice matching, and so I always feel sorry for the people who take their kids to the movie and bring all their relatives, or they turned on their TV and said, you know, little Johnny's in this show, and it's going to be so great, and then they hear my voice instead. I just think that's an awful thing. I'd hate to be in their living room when that happens.
Well, if you've done a good enough job, they won't notice. It'll just be, yes, Johnny did awesome on that show.
Hey, yeah, good job, Johnny. Yeah.
So the week we're recording this, and hopefully the week that this comes out, the week of September 21st to the 29th, you are down in Atlanta for part of VoiceOver City LLC's Animation Domination Week.
Yes, we're doing a series of workshops just about animation. We did an introduction to animation last night, and then we've got a panel discussion, and we're going to do a gaming workshop, that type of animation. We're going to do a simulated animated show session for actors who want to do that. I'm hoping that the people who take the workshop, if they do get an animated show in the future, will at least have that sense memory to remember what it's like, knowing that they're, you know, working off of other characters in the cast, so that it will enhance their performances. So that's my goal.
I think that's a very admirable goal. Do you get a chance to do conventions and all? I think you mentioned Comic-Con that you were just there.
Yeah, I've been on some voiceover panels at San Diego Comic-Con in the past, and WonderCon, Kamikaze. I'm going to be at Kamikaze in November at a booth I'm sharing with Memory Lane Animation. The guy collects cells. Now, you know, back in the day when it was ink and paint, he collects cells. He's got cells from Darkwing Duck and My Little Pony, original cells. And I'm going to be there, too, to autograph them. So that's kind of fun because a lot of stuff, most stuff now is, you know, CGI or computer-generated flash animation or something like that. So we don't have cells anymore. So kind of old-school stuff. And I'm looking forward to doing some other conventions in the future, too. Maybe I'll be at Dragon Con or Minnesota. If there's one in Minnesota, that's where you are, right? If you want
that's
me
right.
to come, tell them. If they invite me, I will come.
All right. I know a few people that run conventions, so we'll see what we can do.
That would be a blast. I would love to meet you face-to-face.
Me too. Well, you, obviously. I've met me, and I'm not that interesting, so, you know.
I don't believe that.
Well, we're going to let you go here because, you know, like we mentioned, the VoiceOver City stuff, that's still going all week, so I'm sure you got lots to do. You can find Katie on Twitter at just KatieVoice1. That's don't look for Katie Lee. That's somebody completely different. And then you've also got the website, which is, again, katielee.com. All those links are going to be in the show notes.
Or voiceofyourchild.com.
Oh, and the voice of your, does that work too?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I will say for all the voice actresses that we've had on the show, or voice actors regardless, you've got one of the most updated and working websites I've seen in a while. So that's major points for you.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you to my fans, because honestly, they're the ones who help me. Every time it's lagging, I get a call from somebody who says, I think I can make it better, and I say, okay, great, help me out here. And so I wouldn't be anywhere I am if it weren't for the fans who are just out there feeling sorry for me and helping me. I really appreciate it.
Well, and you can still check out Katie at Adventures in Odyssey. If it's not on the radio to you, I'm sure it's online somewhere, so you can.
Yeah, it's on at witsend.org. You can hear an episode every day. They change it every day. We have like 750 in the can, and you can always listen on your computer. It's a great show. It's really well produced, so I highly recommend that one too. Yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else that. Oh, Copycat. It's actually on the air. Something new. Copycat. It's on Sprout. You can catch me on that. I have the voice of Zuzu the dog. And that's a pretty fun show, too, if you have a preschooler.
I don't, but I will. I'll recommend it anyway, just because I'm sure it's
somebody
awesome.
Out there must have one. So
there's at least one. There's at least one preschooler listening. I can almost guarantee it. So
I hope so.
Katie, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. I'll talk to you later.
This has been The Voice Behind, a production of the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode, and for outtakes from this and other episodes, as well as news and commentary from the voice actor community, follow our Twitter feed at twitter.com/thevoicebehind or on Facebook at facebook.com/thevoicebehind. Comments, questions, and suggestions are more than welcome at voice@fancypantsgangsters.com. Thanks so much for listening.